broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans, Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for June 10th of our Lord 2020, hour two of two, with the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio. Kirk Crosby's with me. It's just the two of us with a lot of hard-hitting news straight ahead for you. Incredible first hour with Larry Pratt. Check that out when the archives are up at lovingliberty.net, libertyroundtable.com. Spread the word. Tell your neighbors, would you please? Chris Cuomo in the news. Kurt?
Well, yeah, Sam. Chris Cuomo, I guess the problem is his wife was doing some kind of a, well, in this case, it's a Western Journal piece, and the headline reads, Chris Cuomo gets lesson on U.S. Constitution after asking where it says protesters have to be peaceful. Del Duduit is the author, and, well, there's plenty of instances where I'm sure Chris Cuomo could use some constitutional lessons.
It doesn't even say protesters in the Constitution.
That's a great point.
Does it? Does it, as far say, as I understand?
Well, not that I'm
so aware. The Constitution is not going to say protesters need to be peaceful if it doesn't say protesters. What does it say, Kurt? Do you know? The First Amendment? It talks about, you know, we have the right to peacefully assemble. Who has that right? It doesn't say protesters or rioters or, you know, that kind of stuff. Mobs or whatever.
Let's see. I'm trying to find the exact wording. Here's the First Amendment. Says the First Amendment. Yeah.
You mean you're going to the real source?
Congress shall make, yes.
Oh, good
word. Says Amendment 1, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, comma, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, semicolon, or abridging the freedom of speech, comma, or of the press, semicolon, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble.
All right, so hold on. Comma. Let's stop. The people are considered to be law-abiding people. Kurt, law-abiding people can peacefully assemble. Why do I say law-abiding? Because this is the Bill of Rights, which is to restrict government from interfering with law-abiding people. Okay, if you're a criminal, the Constitution doesn't stop them from taking action against criminals. Okay, so if you riot and destroy property or destroy life, liberty, or property, or you know, then, hey, you don't have the right to do that, and you fall into the criminal element, and that's why I'm saying we've got to, you know, separate these people, the people versus the criminals. Okay, and you can call the people protesters if you want, but the problem is when you say protester, now you're not peacefully assembling. You're not advocating for a redress of grievance. You're literally just protesting something. You're just running around against something. And the reason that I make this distinction a little bit is because I want to talk about people versus protesters. Do you want to just protest something or come out in anger against something? Or do you want to sit down at the discussion table for solutions? See, I believe that people under the Constitution's First Amendment who have the right to religion and have the right to free speech and have the right to freedom of the press and have the right to peacefully assemble, okay, these are God-given rights to be peaceful, though. Okay? And you know, by nature, you would say peaceful people want to sit down and discuss real solutions. Okay? So I want to sit down and discuss, hey, let's not defund the police, but let's stop the federal government from making military hardware, selling it all around the world, and then, obviously, when they have too much of it, going, well, let's let police departments and local, you know, venues get the equipment for a song at taxpayers' subsidized expense. Let's not do that. Let's not turn our peace officers, who are supposed to serve, protect, and defend, let's not turn them into military units. Let's not, okay, so there's a lot to be discussed. I want to defund the ability for them to get this military hardware and militarize the police. Yeah, I want to reduce the funding and not have that happen. But I want to move to elected sheriffs, not appointed police chiefs and bureaucrats as well. There's a lot to these appropriate discussions. Is it appropriate to say we need reform here and we need discussions for solutions? Yes, it is. But I'm fearful that when the Democrats put a reform bill together, these are the people that are backing Antifa and backing Black Lives Matter and people that are saying police are the enemy. See, I don't want those people to control the narrative. Do they deserve a seat at the table, you may ask, if they're peaceful, if they sit down and discuss things properly with solutions and they accept the give and take that's known as America, the appropriate debates and discussions that relate to coming up with the best solution ever, by all means. But they literally equate their efforts to destroy private property to the tea parties of ancient times.
It's interesting,
okay,
Sam.
They're crazy.
So much I agree with what you're saying. You know, so many times when we've got these so-called problems, then we look, you know, kind of to use a old song, we look for love in all the wrong places. You know, in other words, you know, for example, they say they want to, Chicago Tribune says they want to pull the Chicago police from the Chicago public schools and use the money on mental health services. Now, I bet you've got some solutions on exactly how they could fix a bunch of that.
Well, first off, the churches are the best to deal with mental health services because they'll tie people to God. And you know what? I'm not saying that you know, there's never any need beyond that. But I'm saying I think the churches, tying people to God and family and country is the best way to deal with a lot of these mental illnesses. And then there's ways for private organizations, volunteer organizations and churches and private funding to take care of a lot of this. We don't need the government to do it. But I would say this, the cops don't need to go into the government schools. All we got to do is get rid of the government schools. And now you're going to decrease a lot of funding. You're going to decrease government school funding and police funding to take care of the government schools. And, you know, why do we have cops in the, what, Communist Manifesto schools in the first place that are compulsory education? Why do we have that going on in the first place? So, yeah, shut down the schools. You don't need the cops there at all. Good point. And then let's go ahead and return the money back to the taxpayers. Let them invest in their churches and private organizations to take care of those who really need care. Start with the family. Secondarily, go to churches. Use the private sector. And then there are extreme cases that might need extra help. We can talk about that when we get there. But I would submit to you that usually there are people who believe in the two great commandments, love the Lord thy God and love thy neighbor as thyself. And then the Ten Commandments that back up those two. So you got 12, you know, steps or guidelines for solutions. And I submit to you that you get a lot of these people off drugs and alcohol. You get a lot of these people sitting in the pew rather than the bar. You get a lot of these people with an intact father and a mother. You get a lot of these people basically with a family and a God and a whole peer group of faithful saints and people around them. I'm not saying that there's never going to be any problems, because there's always problems in life. But I'm telling you that 90% of the problems will be solved, and it won't cost you any government money whatsoever, and the cops won't be everywhere, folks. You'll have, instead of police, you'll have faithful people, faithful men and women who understand and who love you and care and will, okay? But, hey, well, we want to say we got to have all these things. We want to tell the churches they can't meet, because you're okay to protest and destroy property. But if you go to church, buddy, oh no, we can't have that. See how upside down this is, folks? But anyway, there's my solutions. And I would say to Chris, no, protesters, I don't know who they are in terms of God-given inalienable rights. They probably lose them when they cross the line and become violent and destroy property. They can become criminals. Okay, but I would look at the people instead of protesters and say, Chris Cuomo, the Constitution talks about the peace. The people have the right to peacefully assemble, sir. And all you got to do if you want is get a copy of the pocket Constitution, put that dude in your pocket. Whenever you have a question, bust that dude out. Crack that little book open and read, my friend, and learn and grow. And oh, what a beautiful day it would be if you would do that. All right, the WAPO's in the news, Kurt.
You know, one other thing just on this topic, Sam, real quick. You know, they talk about this defunding the police. And, you know, when typically it's brought up, it means, hey, we're just going to have, you know, nobody checking on things. And imagine if they, quote, defund the police in schools. And when I think of the police, or in other words, the enforcers of when I was growing up, it was like the principal and the teachers. So just imagine if you just say, okay, so we'll just have the students figure out what the scores are on all their tests and everything like that. I mean, you know, it's just not going to work. Sam, then, you know, at least one of the other things.
And that's what I mean
that
by sitting down and
be
talking about real solutions and having real open discussions. Can they handle that, or will they just flat out melt down?
That's right. And you brought up the point of, you know, if you get the government out of the schools and have the private sector and the churches, you know, take care of that, you know, you got a whole big solution. And people like Secretary Ben Carson, Star Parker, Walter Williams, so many others, or Sheriff David A. Clark, so many others are Sheriff
Mack, Candace Owens.
Ready to come with solutions. And yet those things don't seem to be brought forward. You know, another part to this picture, if you ask me, is this whole limited lawsuit against, you know, where they protect the police. For example, you know, so somebody does something really bad and they say, well, you know, there's limited liability if it's the city or the police or whatever. Well, that's a problem. At least if you ask me.
Yes, it is. Yet
the only problem is the reason they're not going to address that thing very much is it also works for Congress. It also works for most of government that
mayors,
I'm aware of.
City managers, city
pharmaceutical
councils.
Companies, vaccine companies. You know, they've all got
this
deal.
Here's what I would
deal
say, Kurt.
Yeah.
If you're obeying the law as a servant of the people, then you should have immunity. The second you break the law in your, quote, quest for power or your, quote, superiority, then you lose that immunity. Imagine that idea.
Amen.
If you keep the law, you've got immunity. If you break the law and you do something unto yourself, you have no immunity. Maybe I'm crazy, but it sounds simple enough to a derelict like me.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this, the Kosher Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities. And it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Yeah, so see, if I make my recommendations and bring forth appropriate solutions, Kurt, and I say stuff like this. Hey, if you're a law enforcement official, I would call you a peace officer in the real sense. But or if you work for government, you're in Congress or you're wherever you are, a city manager, a county commissioner, all the way up and down the chain, state legislative bodies, whatever else. When you carry out your oath of office and you do so properly, then I think that you should have immunity and be protected. Because you know what? Nobody would serve otherwise. Why would you be personally liable for everything that goes down? So I get that situation, and I see why it's that way. The problem is we've taken it way too far. Okay, the second you leave the rule of law, just like the other criminal you're talking about or whatever, then you should lose your immunity. You should say, while you're within the scope of the law, police officer, congresswoman, congressperson, okay, then you're fine. But the second you become derelict in your duty, hey, you don't have immunity. Okay? You just don't. But here's what they would say to me, Sam. They'd say, your idea doesn't even belong at the table. You're an ignorant, redneck derelict. You don't have any, you don't even have a home to go to. Get out of here. See, a derelict person doesn't have a home or a job or anything else. So they just say, Sam, is Sam just a redneck derelict? Is that, you know, right? Wow. That's what you got to ask, though. Is Sam just a redneck derelict going on here? Don't have a clue? Don't know what I'm talking about? Or is that a dang good idea that we ought to seriously contemplate and seriously discuss and get attorneys and everybody else in the mix to say, how can we craft that to be meaningful? What do you say, Kurt? I mean, is that just a crazy idea? I'm like a one-man think tank here. You know what? I don't have all the answers. But, man, you get 1,000 people together like me and you and many others, or, you know, maybe 300 million people, and we could come up with enough ideas to resolve this problem. It is a problem when these government officials have immunity to the point where, okay, they also talk about this in what's called diplomatic immunity. If somebody comes over here to this country, Kurt, and they have what's called diplomatic immunity, they can almost do anything they want to, even commit criminal acts, and we can't even create accountability for them. How insane is that? And you would say, well, Sam, that's a different deal. That's an international discussion. By golly, that one you got to do, because in other nations they have laws that we might break and we need immunity from those because we don't know the laws of their land when we're there, and the laws might not be the same. And so we got to have this cloak diplomatic immunity for everybody. And no, I don't think so. This is what I'm talking about. We can't create untouchables is the point. All right. Any more on that, Kurt? Is Sam just a redneck derelict?
No, I think it's covered. I think it's all.
How do you like that? You got it covered. Is Sam a redneck derelict? That's pretty good, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, Washington Post.
That's very good. So the Washington Post story, let's see, I'm trying to find which one is that, Sam?
All right.
What day?
I don't know how many WAPOs, just a couple days ago now, huh? Anyway, I guess there's a headline, WAPO.
Oh, there it is. Dewey defeats Truman.
I don't even know who Dewey is, but no, you know.
Well, okay, a long time ago, there was a, you know, guy that got elected, you know, President Truman, and that time, a newspaper thought that Dewey was going to beat him, and so they printed it ahead of time, and lately, the Washington Post basically did this story saying that there was going to be all these more jobs that were lost, and the facts came out after the Washington Post did the story, and the jobs weren't down what they thought they were going to be. In fact, they were increased, and so they're saying that the Western Journal boys, Jack Davis, is saying that the Washington Post did their own Dewey defeat Truman headline.
Yeah, so they basically got it wrong in the news, and then Donald Trump humiliated them, and I would simply say, so who's derelict? Me? Sam Bushman, just a redneck derelict on his reporting here? Or is it the WAPO that's derelict in their duty, Kurt? They didn't do the research before they went to print?
And it backs up the president. Well, the final editors, they were just stuff here, guessing. They were,
wait a minute, we
they
don't
were
guess.
Yeah, but that's the ends, in their case, justify the means, Sam. You know.
No, but see, that's derelict in their duty, my friend.
That's exactly right, but it goes along with the president's phrase of fake news once again, right?
Amen. Yes, for sure. And again, this is where I would stand with Trump. No, I'm not really for Trump, you know, humiliating them over it. I would just simply say this is an example of these people have an agenda that gets in the way of the facts. Okay, that would be my tweeted headline. WAPO has an agenda that gets in the way of the facts. I don't know why, but that's what happened. All right. Now, we talked about this COVID ebook. Now, it was created by Alex Berenson, and he used to be a New York Times reporter, but then Alex Berenson started telling the truth on the COVID thing, and I guess his book was blackballed or shut down by Amazon Kurt's got part of the ebook that was quarantined so you can know what they're kind of shutting down. Okay, here's what they refused.
I mean, the bottom line is, at least for me, you know, I know that we can't go through this whole thing, but it is available now, even though Amazon had said they were not going to offer it. Now it's available because, you know, they've got a little pushback on it. But, you know, the bottom line is, you know, there's a lot of truth that gets unreported that people have to dig really hard to get. And in this case, this reporter, who the New York Times previously employed,
and loved, now,
has now brought out these facts, and you know, you can read them. There.
Break the film down for us, Kurt.
Get them. Well, you know, for example, here's says early Chinese data suggested the virus might have an infection fatality rate as high as 1.4% to 2%. A death rate in that range could mean...
We knew this was way lower. See, Fauci was talking about 3 and 4 and 5% back at the same time, right? Now we know it's lower than both of those numbers. But think about it. The number that this guy's touting now is about a third of what Fauci was babbling about, Kurt. And they knew it. They've known it the whole time.
Well, yeah, but Sam, I mean, if you're going to get a bunch of readers and watchers of TV and stuff like that, you got to have some bleeding and leading, you know. He says maybe the most important questions of all, how lethal is SARS-CoV-2? Whom does it kill? Are the death counts accurate? And if not, are they over or understated? Estimates for the lethality of the coronavirus have varied widely since January. You know, he just goes on to ask the good questions and then to give you detailed, like he gives sources where you can check it out. You know, he says the most important estimate came on May 20th when the CDC, or the Centers for Disease Control, our buddies Jim and Trish Fijo would call them the Center for Domination and Control, reported their best estimate was that the virus would kill 0.26% of people infected, or about 1 in 400 people. The virus would kill 0.4% of those who develop symptoms, but about 1 out of 3 people would have no symptoms at all, the CDC said. And he gives the link for it. Similarly, a German study in April reported a fatality rate of 0.37%. A large study in April in Los Angeles predicted a death rate in the range of 0.15 to 0.3. Some estimates have been even lower. Others have been somewhat higher, especially in regions that experienced periods of severe stress on their health care system. You know, he talks about New York and et cetera. But the bottom line is, Sam, you know, if you really want some facts, if you really want some truth, you can find it. But I would say that no one from close personal experience, from, you know, family members, et cetera, who literally don't want to know the truth. There are some, you know, that are going to just keep their head in the sand and, you know, think that it's best.
Well, I'm a truth seeker and I want the truth for sure, Kurt. No doubt about it. And so I want to hear the ebook. I want his book and his opinions and his views to be able to be, you know, shared and promoted. And if you like them or don't like them or think they're fact or think they're fiction, that's up to you. But I don't think we have the right to. What? Doesn't he have freedom of the press there, Kurt? And freedom of speech? And he can
good
think
point.
And act and say and believe and write and print and what he wants to?
He says, after all that, in a worst-case scenario, if we took no steps to mitigate its spread or protect protect vulnerable people, a completely unchecked coronavirus might kill between 0.07 and 0.28% of the United States population, between 1 in 360 and 1 in 1,300 Americans. That's higher than the seasonal flu in most years, but it's certainly a lot less, you know, bottom line,
than the propaganda Fauci peddled for so long. And that means that we do nothing.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Music. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Republican U.S. Senator South Carolina's Tim Scott is reportedly working up a proposal that would address racial discrimination and police brutality across America. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell confirming that Scott is working on such a proposal. Meanwhile, the White House is reportedly drawing up its own proposal following the nationwide protest over the death of George Floyd in police custody. Republican South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham says this doesn't mean that they'll be defunding police departments, as some have been calling for.
Defunding the police to me is not the answer, but reforming the police practices certainly makes sense.
New York's Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo expected to sign police reform bills, including one that releases police disciplinary records. That bill had been debated for 5 years until it was passed yesterday. This is USA Radio News.
Balance of nature, changing the world one life at a time.
I've had a lot of really great days back to back, which has been a huge blessing. Even my doctor told me, because they asked me to bring everything in that I take on a daily basis. He was very encouraged by seeing what I was taking. And he said he didn't care how many I had. And he said it's food. And the form that it's in was something that he was very, because he's an avid learner and he's always researching and he's always excited to see new things. And he told me, this would be good. This will help you immensely with the nutrition that you need.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Start your journey to better health today by calling 1-800-246-8751 or by going to balanceofnature.com. And make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code USA.
A 30-acre-plus brush fire broke out overnight in the Los Angeles suburb of Bel Air. The fire was reported just after midnight Pacific time. About 200 firefighters still on scene, attacking it by ground as well as by air. The fire is moving uphill. No evacuations have been ordered as of early this morning, and no word yet on what caused that fire. Virginia's Democratic Governor Ralph Northam's decision to remove a Robert E. Lee statue in the state capitol is facing two lawsuits now. One filed this week centers on language in a deed signed 130 years ago, while the other claims it would violate federal landmark law to remove it. Northam did double down on his order to remove the statue in Richmond yesterday, calling the symbol divisive. A Richmond judge already imposed a 10-day temporary injunction on the removal earlier this week. And this is USA Radio News.
Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. Solutions everywhere on your radio. Everybody's talking. Thanks for listening. All right, so the who's in the news. And the who, of course, is being rejected by President Trump, the World Health Organization, but the CDC and Fauci being embraced by President Trump. I simply say to you this, I don't trust anything either of them say. I don't trust Fauci, I don't trust the CDC, and I don't trust the WHO, but here's what happened. The World Health Organization on Monday came out with a bold statement, quote, it's rare for infected people without symptoms to spread the coronavirus. That was according to CNBC reporting it. So number one, if the WHO's right, then that's a very interesting statement. It's CNBC reporting on it. Now, then they got attacked relentlessly. So now the WHO came out and walked the statements back. They call it, quote, walk back. The WHO, World Health Organization, now says that a, quote, asymptomatic spread may account for up to 40% of the COVID-19 transmissions. Kurt, where does the truth lie here? Did they really walk it back because that's the truth? Did they really report it because it's the truth? Did they walk it back because they got attacked from who knows who? Who's in charge around here? Who determines what's factual and what's not? And the answer is, we simply don't know. And so if you ask the WHO lady that spread this, then she's saying, well, we were talking about a little subset research. We weren't talking about a whole new WHO, you know, 180 about statement. It was just my observations from the research we're doing. And I mentioned them and they got taken out of proportion. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But not only is what the truth a question, what is the truth? But the second question is, do we have the truth, and are we willing to articulate the truth once we have it? What if it goes against the narrative, but it's the truth? Are we willing to admit we locked everybody down? Half knowing it was a false premise and half not knowing the reality, and we locked everybody down and suggested or acted like we knew? Very, very serious questions on this, Kurt, but it goes right back to this ebook point that you mentioned. Where this guy's just trying to report the truth and he's getting shut down. Why? And I don't know the truth, Kurt. But I know the truth is that I can't trust him. Wow. Any thoughts, Kurt?
Couldn't agree more, Sam. I couldn't agree more. It makes me think of the scripture where it says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
It also reminds me of the other scriptures that talk about, you know, they're always searching for the truth, or they're always searching for something, or searching for learning, but they're never coming to the knowledge of the truth. I don't know that they even want the truth. I think what they really want to do is lock people down, create confusion, and in the confusion they want to basically, you know, peddle the porn of tyranny, Kurt. Under the guise of protection.
If you're unwilling to search for the truth in all areas, if you're not willing to open up, like if you only say choice A and choice B are the only solutions, then, you know, you can see why you got troubles.
You're allowed to look over here, but not over here.
Education or health, like take the coronavirus, for example. If the only real solutions that you'll accept are masks, vaccines,
lockdowns,
pharmaceuticals, lockdowns, then, you know, no wonder you're going to be paralyzed with fear or panic pressed or whatever you want to call it.
No wonder but the if you're willing gonna to melt look, down.
Yeah, you're going to look farther and say, well, you got to include God, include his creations, include, you know, the freedom, you know, in the mix there, include those other basic things out there, then all of a sudden you just open up to a whole new world of, you know, real solutions, right?
Yes. Sadly, yes. And I think that we need to look other places. And what we don't need to do is shut down people's opinions. Look, even if you think I'm 100% wrong on something, you don't have the right to shut me down and violate my free speech and violate my peaceful assemble opportunities and violate my freedom of religion and violate my opinions and the ability to speak and print what I believe and say and think. And you don't have the right to interfere with that. When you do, you border on tyrannical behavior. Okay. Even if I disagree with some of these people, okay, they have every right to say and think what they want to. But we shouldn't be forced to walk it back because everybody melts down because it goes against the narrative. Who controls the narrative? It ain't the WHO. Or they wouldn't be walking it back. All right, enough of that. The University of Utah is in the news, and they're still researching, Kurt.
Well, Sam, I found this very interesting little piece, at least for me. We've got a daughter that's a type 1 diabetic daughter. Got it when she was 6 years old. She's now quite, you know, a bit older, but so I look for stories like this, and I found this interesting. The headline reads, University of Utah researchers develop fast-acting insulin based on sea snail venom. And they say they've developed this insulin, they say, for about the past 5 years. As part of an international team, researchers worked to discover how the venom of predatory cone snails quickly paralyzes their deep sea victims by causing their blood glucose levels to drop rapidly. The venom the snails release is a form of insulin that, they say, in earlier research by the same team, was discovered to have many of the same traits as human insulin. In the current project, the U researchers found a large difference between cone snail venom and human insulin. A large difference. Oh, that's interesting. Because cone snail venom, they say, isn't processed the same way as human insulin for storage in the pancreas. It's immediately ready to work to lower blood sugar levels, but the snail venom is far less potent than human insulin. Researchers combined properties of the snail insulin with human insulin to create a synthetic version That's what Helena Safavi, she's the study co-author and assistant professor of biomedical sciences. Where, you ask, is she? Well, she's at the University of Copenhagen. That's not where they have that chew, but it's just Copenhagen in Denmark. And Utah adjunct professor. She's also, you know, connected to Utah here. They tested on rats and mice this hybrid insulin, and they had the same potency as human insulin, but acted a lot faster to lower blood sugar levels. They say the discovery that one could indeed create a compound that was as fast as the snail insulins, get that, fast as the snail insulins, and as potent as human insulin was really a big and surprising achievement, because despite decades of insulin research, no one had designed such a compound, she said. Now, she says, many with type 1 diabetes need to inject their insulin at least 23 minutes before a meal, but the hybrid insulin can do its job in as quickly as 5 minutes. That's what the one assistant professor of biochemistry, I'd try to do his name, but it's, you know, way long, and one of the study's corresponding authors said, this is very special insulin in the way that it still looks like human insulin, so basically still preserves lots of features that people with diabetes currently are using. They say a scuba diver holds a live specimen of this you know, and it shows a picture of this mini, or this snail, Sam. But, I mean, who would have thought you go looking around to see solutions for diabetes by looking at snails? You know, I just thought
fascinating research. And again, I hope it bears fruit, Kurt.
Yeah, me too. I hope, you know, maybe somehow at least it makes things a little bit better. But I would also say, ladies and gentlemen, imagine if they allowed the look or the solutions to be in every area, and they included things like oils and herbs and things like that. But of course, you know, in the solutions world, in government, bureaucratic, pharmaceutical, and quote, health care, I call it sick care, those things are not allowed, Sam. And
heard that. I got a question. Do the snails have a patent on this? They better hurry, because someone's going to, you know.
Good point.
Beat them to the
well,
deal.
Those snails are kind of slow.
Wait a minute. I thought this was fast acting, buddy.
Good point. Fast acting snails.
There you go. I just bet that's a comical. Crazy. Yeah, it's just weird, fun stuff, but educational, to say the least.
Yeah.
All right, a professor got canned, Kurt.
Well, that's right, Sam. I'm trying to find that story.
This professor said biological sex, believe it or not, it's a real thing, folks.
Oh.
And the universities are not to be run only by those who hold, quote, approved ideas. So this professor said, hey, you know what? Biological sex, it's a real thing, man. And they just literally canned this professor for it.
I mean, doesn't it make you go... you know, kind of like that old show, what was it? Something like do, you know.
I don't know.
Where you wonder where you are. You know, you're wondering.
Yeah, it's called Twilight Zone.
Planet.
Is that what you're talking about?
That's it. That's it. Yeah.
Right. It's more than the Twilight Zone, buddy. This stuff's real. It's real. The fact that you can't even point to things that are real.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
All right, a man arrives at a protest, Kurt Crosby style, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, yeah. The headline reads, a man shows up to protest with contingency plan for riots, dash a trailer full of bees. It's from the Western Journal, and this happened up in Janesville, Wisconsin. I've never been there, but I bet this was pretty interesting. Yeah, he calls them his riot control bees, and over 100 people gathered there to hold a demonstration protesting this whole George Floyd thing, and this is all according to the Gazette Extra. The march came, they say, you know, after these rioting of the nights, etc., as the city readied itself for every eventuality. This beekeeper, Greg Hoeft, H-O-E-F-T, had his own idea about ensuring the safety of the community. He said, well, the riot control bees are in their holding yard waiting to clear the streets of Janesville and keep peace in this county. I'm willing to bring them in and kick them over if things get out of control, he said.
Crosby style, ladies and gentlemen? Yeah.
He joined those ready to support the... He joined those ready to support the police with 12 boxes of bees on a trailer that he towed into a parking lot, just in case they were needed. After police learned that he was ready to unleash the bees on the protest, he was asked to leave, and he did so. That's what the police
sergeant
told
stop you here for a
told
minute, Kurt.
The Gazette.
I don't see why you'd make the guy leave. He's not, like, threatening to release the bees. He's not belligerently releasing the bees and causing trouble. He's merely coming and saying, guys, I have a great idea how to help if you guys really need help, support here. I think the idea is brilliant, and I think it's thinking outside the box, and I think it's the genius of America at work. This guy wasn't in any way a bad guy. He wasn't just threatening to do this, or, you know, he didn't just do this without asking or whatever. He's kind of saying, hey, I got the answer here if you guys need help. And I don't know why the cops are just like, leave. What I would say if I was the cops is, hey, you know what, sir, we really need you to use all your skills right now to make sure those bees don't get out prematurely or anything like that. And you know what? And we don't need that right now. It's peaceful. But thank you so much for your consideration. Give me your card or give me your name and number. We'll keep, you know, we'll call you if we, you know, need to take action. Otherwise, sir, be polite. Have a good time. Make sure your bees are safe. And if we need them, we'll let you know. But do not do anything otherwise. We need to make sure you understand that. Right. And have an appropriate discussion. But I don't see anything the guy's done is wrong, Kurt. In fact, I think
they say the Western
solution, personally.
The Western, good point. The Western Journal police or piece says while there were also some civilians who came armed and ready to keep the peace if police needed help, the department said they had things under control there, and the protest did not devolve into violence.
And that's a wonderful blessing, but I don't know that I would say to the cops, I appreciate that you think you have it under control, but look all around you. It's not under control in many venues. And so, you know, we're here to support you, brothers. And you know what? You got it. I hope it does remain peaceful, and I hope you do got it. But that's what they told the folks in Charlottesville, too.
Good point.
Okay, that's what they told me, and I can go on and on and on and on. So I appreciate that this one went peaceful, and I'm grateful. And I certainly do not recommend unleashing the bees prematurely. Nevertheless, I think it's a brilliant answer to a serious problem. And I think the guy was a peaceful example of the genius of America, Kurt.
Well, and right at the end of the story, it says, who knows, perhaps the National Guard should learn from this beekeeper's example. Bee stings tend to be far less deadly than bullets for those who aren't allergic, it says. But the pesky little buzzers are truly terrifying. Riot control bees may prove an excellent deterrent to looting and rioting.
Amen. See, that's what I'm saying. It's brilliant.
Oh, there you go.
It's just thinking out of the box, and hey, I'd rather have that than I would cops getting all belligerent. Anyway, very interesting, to say the least. And I say, you know what? This great guy seems to me like a peaceful, nice guy. They said, well, you need to leave. And he's like, okay, just offering my services here. And thank you and have a great day. And, you know, there you have it. Now, there's also good news in addition to this bee guy. Strangers work together. Kurt?
That's right. The Western Journal with the piece by way of WorldNet Daily says, incredible. Strangers work together to lift van off woman after crash. And they say lifting a car is often limited to the realm of superheroes, though there are known cases where a parent uses their superhuman strength to move vehicles to save their children. In general, though, it's not an easy feat. And that's F-E-A-T, not F-E-E-T. But anyway, in many cases where moving a car is necessary, time is of the essence. Because someone's life is at stake, the car might ignite or the car is already on fire. You know, such as a police car on fire. In such cases, there's no time to wait for an emergency crew. Thankfully, for one woman in Indianapolis, Indiana, people turned up to help her when she found herself pinned under a vehicle. Lori Collins, a native who lived near the site of the crash and in a comment on a Facebook post, said she was out running errands, responded immediately once she knew something was wrong. I heard the impact. I just didn't see it. When she got to the scene, though, it became clear that the situation was urgent. You could see the lady was underneath the van. All of a sudden, all these people came out of nowhere, all kinds of different people, and they were all trying to help together. You could see them talking to her, trying to get her assess her, and they all just kind of said, we're going to get this van off her. I think they said 1, 2, 3, and they all pushed up, and they almost couldn't get it. So like two more guys came over and were trying to help. There were two people kneeling in front of her, like kind of stroking her hair and trying to get her not to move. Eventually the van was lifted and the woman was moved out of its way.
Wonderful news.
There was
we need
no
more
hesitation,
Kurt.
Amen.
Is what we
there
need.
Was no decisions. It was instant, like everybody automatically worked together.
Contrast these people with the WHO, Kurt. They got a sex ed program going on for children under four.
Yeah. That's kind of crazy.
Homosexuality, Sam, but, pornography, masturbation with others, child rape crimes, literally partially funded by your tax dollars, folks. All what, compliments of the WHO, Kurt?
Yeah, the World Health Organization. And
see
your
why
tax
I say
dollars,
we can't trust them?
Go, man, yeah, great point.
All right, in a final story, Kurt. And by the way, shame on the WHO, and we got to back out with our tax dollars, and Donald Trump is the only one speaking out and trying to do just that.
Good point.
So good for the president. We got to, you know, back his play there. Big time, folks. All right, there's one viral tweet out there, Kurt, and they want to know, listen, they want to know the best advice people receive in four words or less. So anyway, they get this @ and this person that tweeted this. What's the best advice you can give in four words or less? Well, the best advice I ever got, says this one author, is only drink cold beer. That's David Hookstead. He's a sports writer.
Wow.
The guy's a nut. That's the best advice you ever got? Well, then either you're not listening to other advice or you've got the wrong advice. But he says, coincidentally, it's only four words. It's almost like it was meant to be. It's almost like God meant for this tweet to go viral. That advice is perfect. It perfectly fits it within the number of words allowed. Life is far too short to ever drink a warm beer. It's just not worth it. Let's make sure that our fridges and coolers are iced up, nice and cold, packed full of beer. I hope you all have a great summer, and I hope that plenty of beer is involved. Life is too short to drink a warm beer, my friends. I just heard this advice for the first time, and wow, it was life-changing. I knew it in my soul. I just didn't have anybody articulate it so well. But you know what? That's the best advice. Never drink warm beer. Always make sure it's iced down. That was this whacked out, you know, deal. But, Kurt, the reason that I bring it up, because you would say, Sam, why do you even bring up a story like that if it's so bogus? Well, it reminds me of what I did a long time ago, Kurt, slightly different. But I heard of a story in church one time. It was actually in a general conference of our church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So it was global, 15-plus million members and stuff like that. And the speaker talked about a war guy, a guy that was in war behind enemy lines, and he was trapped as a POW. And his family didn't know if he was dead or alive, didn't know anything about him. And basically, the guy was given 25 words. You can write 25 words that you can send to your family. What would you say? And so this speaker highlighted that and kind of, you know, brought that to life for you and me to say, think about your life enough to say, what 25 words would you give your family? If they didn't know if you were dead or alive, you wanted to let them know you were alive, but give them a message. And, you know, what would you do? What would you say? What 25 words would you use if that's all you were permitted to write was the question? And I know that's not four words, Kurt, but it's along the same lines. And I literally thought about this for a week plus. And I worked on all the 25 words that I would write. And I've talked about this on the radio before, but I want to repeat it again because I think it's so important. When this guy says four words, only drink cold beer. Okay, that's the best advice he's ever got. Well, David Hookstead, you might want to listen to my advice. I'm going to use 25 words, not four, though. And the reason I am, because I think it has a whole lot more relevance in the discussion. And so I created these 25 words. I thought about it. It took me forever to come up with them. And then my family, believe it or not, for one Father's Day, took my 25 words and they created a collage of it. And then they basically printed it and matted it and framed it. And then we gave all of our children one for their homes. And we have one hung up in our home now, too. The 25 words from Dad. What would you use if that's all you were permitted to write? And here's the words I came up with. Ready? I'm going to give them to you in phrases, but all of them together are only 25 words. Ready? Keep the commandments. Remember Jesus. Forgive completely. Pray always. Follow the Spirit. Repent daily. Serve willingly. Say thank you. Love others. Return with honor, smile. Those are my 25 words. And so, you know what? I can't do it in four words. But I would say to you, David Hookstead, if you want advice in 25 words or less, that would be my advice. My family, if they got that message from me, would know that there's nobody that would have come up with that but me. Okay, it's so unique to Sam Bushman in my life. I'm far from living it perfectly, but it's what I strive for, to where they would know my captors could never come up with that. So they would know that I created it and that I was alive just by the nature of what is said and what I've taught my children and what I've done my best to live throughout my life. But even furthermore, it gives them guidance for their lives. It gives them, really, in 25 words, all that I've spent my whole life trying to teach my 8 children. And now my 4-plus grandchildren. So see, the question is, Sam just a redneck derelict is a little different in light of this. Because I'm not saying, hey, you know what? Always drink cold beer, huh? I'm saying, hey, I would use 25 words. Now, if I had to really boil it down to four, you want to know what I would put? I'd probably say this. It would either be, sir, willingly, say thank you. Or it might be, say thank you, love others. I just can't decide if serving willingly or love others is more important, because the two are almost one and the same. They have a different connotation or a different focus. But I hope the principle comes across. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. You know, the world doesn't think like we think on this radio program, folks. We hope to point you to God, family, and country. We hope you take seriously the admonition to protect life, liberty, and property, and follow the Prince of Peace. That's why we're on the radio. That's who we are. We hope to heed the clarion call the Savior gives us and echo that around the world. God save the Republic of the United States of America.